Well, thank you, musicians, and Philinton. Well, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Nicknames. Have you ever had a nickname? Do you still have a nickname? Nicknames are generally something that... I just thought of Alicia. It probably doesn't fit with her, but something where you look at them, you have a certain type of look about you, and it reminds people of something. Yeah, that's not good for my daughter, but with the nicknames I have for her. But I've had nicknames, plenty of nicknames over the years. I think I've told most of you, I used to have ears that stuck straight out. And so that brought along lots of nicknames. As a little fella, I had been subjected to radar, that was the main one. Elephant ears, Mickey Mouse. I got used to get called Mickey Mouse to the point where at primary school, the principal had little Mickey Mouse ears. Well, they weren't little, they were big Mickey Mouse ears. And if anyone called me Mickey Mouse at school, they had to wear those ears all day. So just to try and stamp out being called that. When I got to high school, because I was extremely skinny, I'd be called Bones, Sticks, or they'd go the opposite and call me Buddha. All right, so the metalwork teacher. I'm not very good at cutting straight lines or going. I'm not very good at being very, precise in things. And so he'd call me Butcher Mitchell. That was my name in metalwork. And so my friends, when I was older at youth group, used to call me CM. And that stood for chronic mess. All right, so, but that was my nickname at youth group, CM. So I've had plenty of nicknames over the years, and I'm sure you have had at least one nickname, and they can be, some of them are flattering, others aren't. Seems, though, that this practice has been around for quite a while, because Jesus tells us in the Beatitudes that if we act a particular way, well, then we will be called something. And it's not going to be a bad thing. If we have a look there, when we've been looking at the peacemaker, and in Matthew chapter 5, I haven't even looked it up yet. Matthew chapter 5, we read there in verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." That's how you get your nickname. If you want to be called a child of God, well then, be a peacemaker. Now, let's not confuse this with being made a child of God. Jesus isn't saying, if you are a peacemaker, well, then I'll make you a child of God. That's not what he's saying. There's only one way to become a child of God. We're told in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." And so there's only one way to be saved and be made a child of God. But we all know that there are many who have done this. They are saved. They've been made a child of God. But they're not called a child of God by anybody, except maybe God himself. There's no... they're not recognized as a child of God. You see, the key word here is called. You shall be called a child of God. Called, that is referred to as a child of God. You will be resemble. People will see you and think, now there is a child of God. There are many people who are saved, but at work, in the home, maybe even in the community, they don't direct others to Christ so they can be saved. They are not a peacemaker as we saw. We saw last week that green peas aren't the peacemakers that God's interested in. It's not a voluntary silence. It isn't a muzzling of others. It's not being like the Hindus and chilling out and being at peace with the world. A true peacemaker is someone who will tell others how they can be reconciled to God. And they seek, right wherever righteousness reigns, there will be peace. And there are plenty of people who may be at peace with God, but they make no effort to be a peacemaker. They don't resemble the Lord in this way. And no one would ever think of them or call them a child of God. And so if we want to be recognized as maybe even a Christian, so to speak, Jesus says we need to be a peacemaker. Question is, are you a peacemaker? You know, in God's word, we're told that there are three main areas where peace is needed. And I was tempted to look at all three areas, really, but I've chosen not to. But one area is we need peace with each other, where there's unity in the home, in the church, in the community, in the world. We need peace in that sense. And that only comes when righteousness reigns. And we need to be encouraging people to seek the things of God so there's peace in this world, in our church, in our homes, in our community. There's another place where peace is needed, and that is within our mind. Don't we need peace within our mind? And we can be so anxious over things. We can be so upset over things. And the reality is the way that we find peace is to let Christ reign richly within our hearts and our minds. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds. And often we need to be a peacemaker like that by encouraging others to trust in the Lord, be an example of how to trust in the Lord. That's being a peacemaker. But I'm sure you'd agree with me that the most important peace that a person needs is peace with God. In fact, until a person enjoys peace with God, they're not going to really enjoy peace within their mind, and they're not going to be able to enjoy true peace with others because they don't have the God of peace there to help them in doing these things. And I believe the greatest responsibility we have as a peacemaker is to bring peace between God and mankind. If we're a peacemaker, we're going to be directing people so that they can find God. You know, have you ever wondered, you know, what actions make people see Christ in you more than anything else? You know, is it praying when they see you pray? There's a child of God. Is it coming to church? There's a child of God. Is it looking sour-faced, you know, like some people think Christians need to look? Is it wearing a suit and tie? Well, if we want to portray our Saviour, well then the best way is to direct people to God, to be a peacemaker where we reconcile man with God, because that's ultimately what Jesus did. He came to reconcile mankind to his Father. And it's when a person seeks to direct people in this way, they're acting like Christ, the Son of God. He's the ultimate peacemaker. You know, as this morning, if we want to mold ourselves, we want to mimic Christ, well then that is one of the best ways to mimic Christ in seeking to reconcile others to God as well. He didn't sit in heaven in a little holy huddle with his angels and say, who cares about the world? They can all perish. I'm just happy being here with you guys. And if they want to go to heaven, well, they have to find me and I'll save them. Now, that may be how some Christians think, but it certainly isn't how our Saviour thought. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that means not one person is in hell because God wanted them there. It wasn't his will that they perish. It was their free will that took them there. That's why Jesus said to pray that the Father's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it isn't at this stage. You know, it's not the Father's will that people lie, but they still lie. It's not the Father's will that people steal, but they still steal. And it is his will that they believe, but they don't all believe. And so each individual is able to choose or reject. And it's our responsibility to give them that opportunity. A true peacemaker, or as a true peacemaker, the Lord has done everything he possibly can for people to be saved. He sent his son came, he died, he convicts, he draws, he illuminates, he does everything possible. Yet the free will of man still has to choose. But we see here, first of all, would you please turn over to Colossians, that Jesus the peacemaker came and died. Now there's a sequence of events here. God sent his son to be the peacemaker. It says there, we look in Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, that's Jesus, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Now there's quite a bit just in those two verses, but we see that Jesus reconciled sinners, particularly those sinners there at Colossae, to the Father through his own shed blood. And so our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, is the greatest peacemaker of all. Through his shed blood, he made it possible for man to be reconciled and enjoy peace. And this is how our Father wants us to be acting. When he sees us act like this, he says, hey, you are acting just like my son. You are another picture of a child of God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We see this explained just a little bit more clearer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, the first part of the verse, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see, God the Father is just as much of a peacemaker as his son. God wanted to be reconciled to mankind. And so he sent his son Jesus, and Jesus went about making it possible so we can be reconciled to God the Father. But then, we're told we have now the responsibility given to us. Because it goes on to say, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So now, we have the same responsibility as the Lord Jesus had when he was upon this earth. As the children of God, he wants us to act like his true son, the Lord Jesus, in sharing the gospel, giving people the opportunity to be reconciled to God. You know, in John chapter 20, verse 21, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We've been given the responsibility. And just like Jesus left heaven's glory and all its beauty and all its comfort and came to this world to preach and tell people how they can be reconciled to God. He wants us to do the very same thing. He wants us to leave our comfort zones, our little holy huddles, and look for ways and look for opportunities to tell the unsaved how they can be reconciled. And when we do that, people will see there's a child of God. I suspect you're all glad you're saved. Are you glad that you were told the gospel so you can be saved? If you're saved, I know you're glad. I had a lady ring me up last week, very distraught because we were shoving our religion down her throat by putting a tract in her letterbox. And she said, I have my own religion. I said, oh, what is it? I'm a Church of Christ. Now, I know the Church of Christ, and I'm pretty sure they pretty well believe the same things as us in many ways. The gospel. They have the same gospel. Now, if she was truly born again, truly believed the doctrine of the Church of Christ, she would have been excited. Wow, good on you that you're out there spreading the gospel as God wants. That shows me that she's not born again. A born again person is excited that someone shared with them the gospel. And they don't get upset if someone tries to share the gospel with them again. That's exciting that someone actually did that. Now, for most of us, I suspect we heard the gospel from our parents. Praise God that we have parents that are willing to do that. But if it wasn't a parent, it would have most likely been a relative that went a little bit strange and started going to church and then they ended up inviting you. If it wasn't that, it was some weird Christian at work who invited you, or maybe someone at school who asked you to come to a youth group. There are various ways. But we're all glad that we got saved. There was a peacemaker in our life. Someone who God used to bring peace between us and the Heavenly Father. You know, I have friends who didn't have Christian parents to tell them, but they met a peacemaker in their life. You know, there's a friend of mine, Johan, and he just went to the letterbox one day, found a little tract telling him about Christ. He had been thinking about that, so he went to church and he got saved a few weeks later. And that would be his testimony, that he got saved. I have another friend. His name's Christian, actually, which I found interesting, but he was far from a Christian. But he went to a school reunion, met a fella, a friend that he hadn't seen for ages, James. And James told him about Christ, asked him to come to church, and he got saved. He had a peacemaker in his life. You know, I have friends, Jolene. She got invited when she was a 12-year-old to youth group, and she got saved. She's one of the deacon's wives at Coffs Harbour. I have a friend called Nishka. He actually wrote to me on Facebook this week. He said, I just wanted to thank you. It was 20 or 25 years ago that I got saved, and the Lord used you in a special way for me to hear the gospel. You know, and he still loves the Lord. He had a peacemaker. There are many people. Nicole Forden lived in the worst street in Coffs Harbour. Somehow she went to Sunday school, got saved. She loves the Lord. She's in Sydney. She took along her little brother. He got saved there. I know of a fellow called Mitch, and he got invited by a friend, you know, Pastor Crockett. He got invited by a friend at school, and he went along in year 11 and got saved. And then he invited his sister along, and she got saved. And he invited his mum, and she got saved. And then he had a friend called Dave, and Dave came along, and Dave got saved. And then there was this girl that liked Dave at work, and he was really worried. He asked me, what should he do about it? I go, just invite her to church. And so he did, and she got saved, and she got married someone else. Her name was Lauren. But there's people like that, and they all had a peacemaker in their life. Someone who was willing to speak up at school, invite, speak up at work, or speak up somewhere. and show them the way to the Lord Jesus. And that's what the Lord is telling us to do here. Those who act like Christ in this way will be known as a peacemaker. You know, everyone seeks to have a particular title. You know, I know some people, they want to be known, they would love to have that solicitor, lawyer, you know, that sounds pretty special, or doctor, or it could be some sort of sportsman. But the highest title that you can have is to be called a child of God. There's nothing more higher in the universe. And to be called the child of God is a wonderful privilege. And God says it is the peacemakers who will be called that. People that are willing to go out and help reconcile people to God. Because that's what Jesus did. You know how in Antioch it says, and they were first called Christians in Antioch? I wonder if that was not so much because of their holy life, but how they were the peacemakers seeking to reconcile people. And so we need to be looking for ways, opportunities to bring about that peace that people need. And it doesn't come from a muzzling of oneself so we don't upset people. That's not the peace that people need. It's not muzzling other people. It's not just relaxing here and chilling out and enjoying what we have. It is actually being willing to speak. Now, as we'll see next time when I look at the Beatitudes, when we do speak, often that means we will be persecuted. But there's blessings in that as well. I promised my wife I was going to go short tonight because she was very tired. And so we'll end there. I keep my promises. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you that, Lord, there was a peacemaker in our life. Thank you for our parents. Thank you for our friends, our brothers, sisters, whoever it would have been. Thank you that there was someone that loved us enough to make the effort that we could hear that wonderful gospel that saves. I pray that we would have that same desire for those we love and even those that we don't even know that we should love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.